Along the way, you'll have to help your buddies escape from their cake prisons. Sounds a bit like Keith.
Keith's exploded.
Yeah, he's relating to it. That's him crying. Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 150. 150! I'm your host, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan.
Hello.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello. Which one of us is the annoying assistant?
I'm going to cut out the reference.
Oh, for God's sake, Will.
You messed it up.
Sorry. And also, I mean, I don't know.
You should keep it in there.
No.
Then, according to John, you have to give a little synopsis about the show for our American listeners.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'd have to describe Nightmare as being the best children's TV show that was on ITV during the early to mid-90s. It was an amazing program.
It's the best show, full stop.
Yeah. But anyway, I've cut all that bit out, so no one will be able to hear that. So, yes, Keith is playing the elf in this week's podcast. And we're going on an adventure. Join us. Join me.
News.
Right. First up on the news this week is, let's start with Super Cratebox coming to the iOS platform in 2012. Finally. This is one of Vlambeer's.
It's hardly final, is it, if it's not coming to 2012? It's still like 6 weeks away.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's but at least it's on its way still.
Is 2012 only 6 weeks away?
Sadly.
Yeah, a bit more than that, isn't it?
So many things I wanted to do this year. Never mind.
Sorry, Keith.
You finally got your haircut, though. That was good.
Got my haircut, yeah. Mm. First one this year.
Yeah. No way. You go to the hairdressers like every month.
I've not been since August. It was awful. It was quite embarrassing, actually. It looked so bad.
I haven't been to the to the barbers. I don't go to hairdressers. I haven't been to the barbers since like May.
Not 1985 anymore, Will.
What do you mean?
You can do these things without getting beaten up.
Not around the rough streets of Cambridge, Keith. I prefer barbers anyway. I don't see why you should pay more than like £9 for a haircut.
You get a nice massage, you know.
I don't want a massage.
I do. You'd like it. It's attractive girls who do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Are we probably a little bit off topic here?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Super Cratebox. Originally a PC indie title. Free. Yeah, PC indie title. I've played it. It's good. Basically the formula was copied by Angry Mob for their game Muffin Knight, which you might have played. The basic gameplay revolves around your character who can shoot different kinds of weapons, picking up different crates, which randomly changes his weapon to a completely different other kind. So you start off with a pistol and it might change it to a revolver or a rocket launcher. I thought Angry Mob actually did quite a good little twist on the formula by making you completely change character to like dragons and zombies and stuff. But obviously lots of people are more, because Super Cratebox was first, lots of people are quite upset. So yes, Halfpot is helping make it happen, make their wish come true. They were responsible for The Block Cometh. Yeah. Have you guys played Super Cratebox?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's free. Download it. It's good.
I don't have any time. Oh. I haven't got time for these silly games you keep on telling me to play, Will.
Well, anyway, everyone else can check it out. There's a link to the original version on the article page. Something to look forward to. Meanwhile, Muffin Knight just received the new update, which I haven't checked out yet. But I like Muffin Knight. It's good. Yes, so we're talking of games.
Talking of games. Yeah, we do tend to do that.
Well, not always, but talk about
use that link. You could use that link for everything, really, couldn't you? Yeah, talking of games.
I do. Prototype. Anyone play Prototype when it came out? on the consoles? Amoral sort of game?
No, I didn't. No. I thought I did, but I played something. No, you
probably played Infamous, which came out at the same time.
Yeah, so there was confusion, wasn't there? Yeah.
I have a copy of that on my shelf, and I've still not played it.
I played both. I prefer different ones. Different elements of the two games are better. But anyway, Prototype isn't coming to iOS, but Proto Slice is.
Yeah.
But it's available now. It's available for free. It's essentially the latest in that sort of tie-in mobile game.
Marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, marketing.
Basically. Marketing game. Yeah.
What's Proto Slice based on, though?
It was called Slice something.
Yeah,
amazing enough.
The
Slice.
One where you avoid the blades, isn't it?
But there's been a few of those as well. I mean, it's kind of like there was like a whole bunch of those kind of like press a button and don't get your finger chopped off games.
They're quite graphic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, this one's quite quite bloody, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of the point. If you want to do a viral marketing game, you want to make it. Yeah, so the original one was called Slice HD from Twitch Games.
Yeah, so you've got to hit a button and virtual blades spin. And you've got to not put your finger down when the blades get you, otherwise blood and quite grotesque gore.
It's a bit like when you play the game with a knife, isn't it, between your fingers?
It's a bit like when I do it, yeah.
Yeah.
I did say my finger was hurting before we started this podcast. Anyway, so yes, Proto Slice, it's out. It's out for free.
But the really weird thing is that they bought it out now, but
the game's not
coming out until April. It seems a really odd thing to do. It's like in the middle of nowhere, isn't it? It's like
it does seem odd. I mean, it is obviously a marketing thing, but
I can't imagine this is the kind of game that if you buy it now, you'll still be playing it in April. To be honest.
I mean, if they're not going to, they're not advertising the game now, are they? So why?
That's a bit strange.
Very weird.
We should all work in marketing, essentially.
Yeah.
Do a good job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But talking of things that are coming to iOS, well, that's another good generic link.
This iPhone gaming podcast. Talking about iPhone.
Talking about iPhone else. Stuff. Here's something that Keith will like.
Sonic
CD for iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone will include Tails as a playable character.
You've just set this up so I'll talk like a negative Nancy again, like I do every week about something.
Oh, but what's there to be disappointed about, Keith? You love Sonic.
Actually, no, there were a lot of people who were angry about this. A lot of Sonic CD purists are very angry about this, which I don't really understand. He wasn't there. He wasn't in the original. So why? How can he be here?
How could he be there? He didn't understand.
It doesn't, you know, it's like it's some kind of drama plot line that he can't possibly be there. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Sonic CD. I'm sure have I not said that when we talked about the announcement that was coming anyway. I'm not a big fan of Sonic CD. I think it's highly overrated. Purely because it was one of those games that actually, in the broad scheme of people who played Sonic, not many people had, because not many people had a bloody Mega CD. So it was kind of one of them games everyone kind of thought, oh, it must be amazing. You'd see screenshots, you think, oh, that looks really good. It looks good, actually. It does look good, but it isn't good. It's all right.
Okay.
Well, there you go. That's from a Sonic fan.
Who's getting a fax?
It's got to be John.
Not facts.
It does sound like a fax.
Not facts, is it?
John doesn't do
facts.
John doesn't do email. We have to fax him all the time.
Yeah, it's annoying. Hey, here's an odd one. Chillingo and Red Lynx are releasing Draw Race 2 multiplayer for free. Now, it's odd in two ways. One is the fact that Chillingo and Red Lynx are now owned by two competing major global corporations, EA and Ubi. And the second is, I guess, that they're doing this because, once again, Draw Race didn't go well in US. Or am I just presuming that?
I'm guessing they must have signed this deal before.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go, it's just because it hasn't gone well. I would imagine this would be something that you would have planned for a while, really. I kind of think, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know. Because you have to start developing you don't just knock the multiplayer out, do you? So.
Yeah, true. It's not the full game. You got to stress. It's literally just a trial for the multiplayer side only.
Mm.
Like a free multiplayer snippet. Has a couple of the cars. Well, a few of the cars, a few tracks, for you to play against.
I mean, I guess it's the issue is kind of exactly how you time those kind of things. You don't want to put them so close to the paid release. It seems to be people don't want to put them out at the same time as the paid release because obviously you want to get the people who are kind of really keen on it to experience it before you kind of open it up. But
it's a pretty cheap game in the first place, though.
Yeah, but still, I mean, free is a lot cheaper, isn't it?
Mm.
I think there is, I guess we've talked about before, like a deeper conceptual issue with a racing game where you're not kind of in direct control. So it is, you know, it is like a, I think that's probably where that game hasn't kind of chimed with the American audience, is it is a slightly more abstract thing what you're doing.
I like it. I'm going to be talking about an abstract game later on in the podcast, actually.
No, I like it, but I kind of think for a lot of people, it's kind of... If you want to feel like you're in control all the time.
Yeah, Mark didn't like it. Which, well, he's wrong, but he didn't like it. everyone else does. anyway, let's go on to the Game Loft roundup news. Because we've got two news stories from Game Loft. They've updated Asphalt 6. Asphalt series seems to be always the game they update for new Apple machines. Because I seem to remember Asphalt 5 getting a...
But they do it for... Update. Particularly, so talking about, you know, compared to something like Draw Race, then obviously Game Loft and it's an Asphalt, it just puts... It's the game, actually, that it embeds in lots of phones, isn't it? It's not just... It's like a lot of Android phones have it as well. So because it's like the obvious thing, what do you get... If you get a new device, what do you want to show it off with? And the most obvious thing is assuming a guy's bought the phone is a racing game. So, you know, well, and the same thing with EA. Like when the playbook came out, RimSing, it had Tetris for the women and Need for Speed for the guys. I mean, it's kind of that's the bog standard, you know, game that everyone will enjoy.
Tetris isn't just enjoyed by the women.
No, but I would assume that would be the thing if you like Tetris.
Will, you're a girl.
One of my ex-girlfriends liked Tetris.
One of your ex-girlfriends. Yeah. It makes you sound like you've had many.
I've left many a broken heart. Didn't fit inside. I needed a line block. Anyway, so they've updated it with new graphical razzmatazz.
Graphical graphics.
Graphical.
Have I played this?
God, you must have done.
I get so confused. Which because this is number six. How many? You know, I know I've played some of them. I'm always quite impressed with it.
Anyway, ignoring Keith, it's been updated for the 4S and, as I said, iPad 2. So it's got lots of new graphical things like real time motion blur and.
Well, I remember when the first ones came out and I would review them on Java, admittedly, and it was always a bit of a naff franchise. But now it actually seems to have a bit of pull to it these days. Mm. People know what it is, and the last few, I'm sure I've played some of the last few. I've been impressed with.
Yeah, 5 and 6 have been pretty good, to be fair. The previous ones. But yeah, the 5 and 6 are all right. Adrenaline's good. There's more going on in Adrenaline that than meets the eye at first, if you're going for the fast times anyway. But yeah, it's pretty decent. It's got the most annoying announcer voice.
I remember one of my ex-girlfriends really liked it, so...
I doubt that. It's a racing game, Keith. And as John said, girls only like Tetris. It's Tetris DX, though. A beta score. Anyway, the next one from Game Off this week is Dungeon Hunter 3. More screens have been revealed. Or rather, more screens are sort of were revealed. Then they handed us more screens, and then they emailed us to say, actually, it was an official. So,
say that again.
Well,
some screens came out.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Some the guys over at MelAdvice, which Italian site, they got hold of some screenshots.
Mm.
And then we asked Gameloft if we could get some screenshots, and they sent us some screenshots. And then they tweeted
same
that
screenshots or different ones.
Oh, same ones, just without the watermark.
Yeah.
And then they said on Twitter that the screenshots out there are unauthorized, and that they will send authorized ones later.
And they were the same again?
Well, I'm guessing they're going to be the same. They haven't been.
All right.
You know, I mean, these are official screenshots of Game Loft. We didn't Photoshop.
No.
they were given to us by Game Loft, and you know. So, it's a bit confusing. So, apparently, you're going to find out the official screenshot, the official screenshots from Dungeon Hunter 3 soon. It's a bit of a PR snafu, really. Anyway, so yes, the first screenshots have been revealed, and there's a bit of a palaver in our comments thread because there's a big old store button in the top left hand corner, which has got everyone's chins wagging.
Has it?
Yeah, well, it's got at least two people. There's two comments. I was going to reply, but I cleared my Google cache, and now I can't log into my account anymore. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to do it on podcast. There's no word on any details of Dungeon Hunter 3 yet, other than we know it's going to be like Dungeon Hunter 2.
Why are people? I've just read the comments. Why are they so upset at the idea that you might be able to buy things?
Well, it's not the idea you want to buy things. It's the Let's Golf 3 idea, where you can't play the game unless you buy things. Because in Let's Golf, they changed Let's Golf 3 so that you had a certain amount of stamina, so you couldn't even finish a round of 18 without wasting a few hours or buying more.
That's particularly duff. Yeah.
That's so stupid.
It might be all right in this. It might be okay.
Well, it depends on how they've done it. If you can't regenerate health unless you pay money, for instance. Mm. That would annoy people quite a bit.
But that's more to do with how something's implemented rather than the concept.
The actual idea of it, people...
Precisely, that's what I was going to say in the comments, but I can't log in. I was going to say, if it's like extra potions or whatnot, then there's no problem with that.
Mm. I think people are right, because obviously, as soon as you introduce that kind of mechanism, then it's kind of the game design does end up... you know, leaning in that direction, even if it's a paid. I mean, yeah. I guess we presume it would be a paid game rather than a free game. Anyway, I mean, certainly for free games, the whole mechanism then is designed to get you to buy stuff. Whereas a paid game, I mean, like the Infinity Blade type thing, it's more to do with your enthusiasm for the experience.
That's it's not too bad. Obviously, yeah. We'll find out later, though. I don't think it's... Now is not probably the time to panic about these sort of things. We just sort of have to wait until they...
I'm writing to my MP as we speak.
I'll get back to you then, Keith, very soon. Final one up this week. Eye Control Pad. Wasn't this already released?
Yeah.
I've seen several stories about this already coming out. What? It's hideous.
Yeah,
it's pretty awful, isn't it?
It's like you take something nice looking like an iPhone and then you plonk something from the 1980s on the bottom of it.
Yeah, it looks rubbery as well.
I don't understand why. I can understand in the early days of iPhone why someone might, a peripheral, you know, maker might decide to do something like this, fearing that people would think, well, I can't possibly play on a touchscreen. But it's, you know, it's almost 2012. Most, you know, 90% of the games on the App Store are perfectly made to work with a touchscreen, given that's the only controls you have. So I can't see the point.
Yeah. So if you do see the point, though, you can get it for $75.
$75?
You might as well buy an Xperia Play, to be honest, if you want. I mean, it's only like 50 quid more.
The idea of having an iPhone, you know, so you can take it out and play. If you got that out when you're on the bus, and strap that onto it, people think, what an idiot.
I still feel like an idiot pulling out the Xperia Play.
Well, you are, so, you know.
So if you want to look a bit like an idiot on the bus, like a Control Pad, it's launched again. That'll be on the box. So there we go. That's the news. Unless the Biz Boys have any numbers up their sleeve.
What's been happening this week?
I don't know. We've done a lot of stories. I can't remember any of them.
I can't. Not any Apple ones. I've not really done any Apple ones.
Keith's just going to say, he's going to keep repeating that.
Apple.
I'm looking through the stories now.
I guess one interesting thing is that they finally opened the Korean App Store, finally got a game section for the first time.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was kind of interesting because it's a bit of a prolonged story, but basically when iPhone eventually launched in Korea, which I think was a couple of years after it had gone live in America, all games in Korea have to be age rated by the government, and because the App Store was so enormous at that stage, they couldn't get them all rated, because it was probably like over hundreds of thousand titles probably. So basically they came to the conclusion between Apple and the government, or just the government, that there wasn't going to be a games category on the Korean App Store. So basically games got released under entertainment, or Koreans had to get an international app, iTunes account to access games. And for some reason now they finally decided that they can. I don't know if they've age rated everything or not, or what they've kind of dealt with it. But now I assume it's for new games. They've announced a games category now on the Korean App Store, and people can submit new games on it. Although saying that, it's quite some of the old. Yeah, I don't know how it does work actually. I'm not being in Korea, but anyway. Now there's been a huge rush of games, and like games are like 50% of the paid top 100 and now games in Korea. So pretty much the same as everywhere else.
Oh, there is one piece of news that I just remembered. Adobe are discontinuing Flash on mobiles. It's not iPhone related because iPhones don't run Flash.
Mm.
But that is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're quietly dropping. Updating it, as I understand it.
Yeah, so. No, they'll give them security updates.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Does that not prove what Steve Jobs said about Flash on mobile?
Well, no, that kind of is a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, isn't it? Because the more Steve Jobs talks about Flash, the more the people who are on Steve Jobs' side started to talk about Flash being rubbish. You know, so you kind of whether or not it is or not, you know, it doesn't really matter now because they've been forced into a position where HTML5 is the kingmaker. Yeah.
But it's probably the other reason that it's before. I mean, even now HTML5 isn't very good for certain things. So there's, but certainly like a couple of years ago, then obviously when HTML5 wasn't there, then you know Flash, it could be argued was you know, more uses. Whereas obviously now as HTML5 comes along, then it kind of makes sense to maybe kind of switch over. But I mean, Flash will still be there in terms of native apps. So
yeah.
So it's just the browser kind of plug-in type stuff.
It's going to be annoying for the Android owners who reach for Flash every time they have an old argument with an iPhone owner. And believe me, they do quite a lot. The problem with Flash I've found on the Android tablets I used is that it is often slow and it is often battery draining.
Yeah, I didn't find it. See, Flash on touchpad always worked perfectly for me. I never really got that because it didn't make any noticeable difference to everyone. Everyone was saying, "Oh,
it depends on the but it depends on the site as well."
Certain sites,
Flash videos are fine. BBC iPlayer, that's fine. But then other sites that aren't BBC iPlayer, I would often have either issues of it, or you know, not being able to scrub properly, or you know, stuff like this. It's weird.
I think it was a bit lazy anyway, because a lot of the YouTube app on WebOS was essentially just a link to the website. And to be fair, the kind of the apps that web app Google have made for iOS is actually far better than the using the website on a touchpad. So it kind of, in a way, not having Flash has made people make extra effort on iOS, and then they often end up with things that are better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's enough about Flash. Let's go on to the midweek releases.
We are midweek as well this week, aren't we?
We are midweek. We are on Wednesday. Wednesday the 9th of November. Up this week, we've got Grannies, we've got Blueprints, and we've got Ninjas Being Thrown. So, first up on the new releases, Blueprint 3D. This one's for iPhone. Oh, no, and iPad. Well, that's...
Yeah.
It's FTG. FTG Entertainment. Puzzle game?
Kind of, yeah. It's not really a game, though, is it?
What is it?
It's kind of like entertainment. It's kind of like a...
Well, you've like gone all Korean on us.
You've gone all Korean?
Yeah.
Oh, I see, yes. No, it's... Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Too clever for me.
Oh, I just got that.
No, but it's kind of like a... You see it as like a 3D object that's kind of fragmented via the camera angle, and you have to rotate it until it all kind of lines up, like if it's on different planes.
Yeah,
so it's not really a game.
It's a game. It's like got a 3-star scoring system.
Okay.
It's
pretty boring to me.
I think it's quite fun. Nice. I kind of thought it was quite. Yeah, I just as a game, I don't think it was much, but I kind of thought it was quite a nice idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It will be available. It will be available when you hear this podcast, but I don't know the price because it's only out in New Zealand right now.
It's 99 cents for iPhone and $2.99 I think for iPad.
Okay, dollars. So 69p for iPhone and yep. 179.
$199.
Yes. Okay, Corpse Granny is the next one. It's for iPhone and iPad, two separate versions again. It's from Bulky Pix, the other French publisher. They're going to be hate.
Developed
that.
By Fresh Gem, who I don't think are French, but anyway.
No. Mm. I've actually played this.
Have you?
Hmm. Yeah, I have. A physics puzzle game. I can't remember it very well, to be honest. It was at Gamescom. I seem to remember it was quite hard. Harder than I thought it would be. Yes, so it's an environmental puzzle game. Where you destroy zombies with a big ball of light. I don't really see the where the granny comes into it, other than the introduction.
Well, it's just a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. There's 45 levels.
The granny moves around some of the levels, doesn't she? I think.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I can't remember, to be honest. I remember playing it. I just didn't leave much of an impact on me, I've got to say. Stonehenge, Police Station and Pirate Ships are the three worlds. 45 levels. And it's got a level editor as well.
Okay. Hmm.
Which is always good. I like level editors. I never use them. But I like the fact they're there.
It was a good idea. And then you realise how rubbish you are.
Oh, all right, Keith. Don't rub it in.
Yeah, I meant you. Yeah, you.
Ninja Throw. Here's another one for both iPhone and iPad with an HD version. And it's from Chillingo. And Hadron Solutions, which sounds like a scientific research lab.
I read that name completely wrong, actually.
What did you read it as?
I'm not saying. Just right. Shift a couple of letters around, and that's what I read. Who's getting a fax?
John's faxing again.
No, I'm very popular.
He's faxing his mum.
Oh, dear.
Just recording a podcast. So yes, this is a Click Gamer label title. It's you play as a ninja and you throw a shuriken or a shekken, as I learned last night by doing a Google search. That's apparently how you pronounce it. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to call it a shuriken because that's how everyone else calls it. You throw it. You've got to hit a target, but there are gravity-inducing things like small Buddhist children that can propel your shuriken in the wrong direction. Or clouds.
Those damn Buddhist children. Yeah. Always getting in my way.
And yes. So and you can also place down objects to help you reach the target. So yes, Ninja Throw. It's out now.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, it isn't out now.
Tomorrow.
Hmm. Yeah. But this isn't going to be out till tomorrow. So. Hello, it's Rocket Riot. This is on some Windows.
Yeah, phone. Yeah.
Hmm. And it's also on Xbox Live. Indie channel, I think. Or arcade, I can't remember. Anyway, it's a frantic shooter done in a 2.5D style where you play as one of many wacky characters. I've played this one, you can tell. Wacky characters, 150 of them. And you fly around the level and you shoot rockets at your enemies. And there are different objectives like destroy lots of stuff, kill lots of it. It's mainly just killing the other people. I hope this version has multiplayer because the Windows Phone version didn't, for obvious reasons. And it's much better in multiplayer, this game. Anyway, the graphics are really nice because it's all pixely, so you can destroy environments like Worms, but it, like, I mean, Worms the game, but
not like you destroy Worms in general.
No, you could destroy the environments like Worms.
Well, chop them in off and watch them resort.
Off, it keeps going. They can blow bits out of the scenery and lots of
pixels. It looks like Lego.
It does look a bit like Lego, yeah. You played this one, didn't you, Keith?
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe. It was probably a long time ago.
Did you review it or did me?
So you were asking which one of our extensive Windows Phone reviewing team reviewed this, you or me?
Yeah.
I think it must have been you, because I know the name and I've written about it in some other context, but I don't think I've actually reviewed it.
Well, you're great friends with the developer, Keith, aren't you?
I'm great friends with the developer.
Code Blue?
Yeah, I'm great friends with the developer.
You and Code Blue are always...
That's how I've written about it, yeah. That's how I know the name.
Exactly.
Oh, it was me who reviewed it, yeah.
Yeah. What did you give it?
Gave it a 7.
7?
Well, yeah. 7 is like a 9 for everyone else.
Evertales. It's a side-scrolling, tongue-in-cheek platformer from Crescent Moon Games and Funder Gameworks. Crescent Moon. I didn't realise they were publishers. Well, I did realise they were publishers. I didn't realise they were initially publishers, though.
Well, they weren't initially a publisher, were they?
No. But they published Siegecraft recently, yeah. which I reviewed.
They kind of still develop kind of their own stuff, but there's only like two of them, so...
Huh.
So they're mainly publisher, yeah.
Funder Gameworks are the guys behind Trenches, who are they're working on Trenches 2 for EA as well. So it's a tongue-in-cheek side-scrolling game. Yeah, it looks really it looks quite nice from the screenshot.
I saw it ages and ages and ages ago. It didn't look anything like that. So just kind of like quite a kind of humorous art style.
They're quite detailed little 3D graphics.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure that that's really not what I remember the main game to look like. Because that's not side scrolling, is it?
Yeah, it is. Look, you can see side on from the character down there. He's leaping across battle. That's just a huge boss.
He's leaping across the words, huge boss battle.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got three heroes. Well, this is sounding a lot like Trine. A knight who's past his prime, definitely Trine. A lady-loving rogue, yep, definitely Trine. And a senile, well, it's basically a Trine rip-off, isn't it? Anyway, hopefully it's not exactly the same as Trine, which is on the PC. Actually, Trine would be a good game to come over to iOS. No one played that, did they? I can tell because you're not...
No idea what you're getting about.
Trine, it's a good indie game.
Wander down that path on
it's
your
on Steam. Get it?
Steam.
Yeah, it's on Steam. Anyway, next one.
What about Origin now, Will? Honestly, don't you know anything?
Origin is not what it's all about. Anyway, next one up is Gangsta Rio, City of Saints, or Gangstar Rio, City of Saints.
Oh, it's Game Loft.
Hello, Game Loft. How have you been, mate?
The Game Loft listen.
I've been depressed. they probably do, yes. They did last time I spoke to them. Here we go. Gangstar Rio. I played this.
Oh, that is disgusting. Are you watching this trailer?
No. What have you seen?
Where she puts her hand. That is revolting in a trailer. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that bit was awkward. I was watching that with Callum next to me. And yeah. I said to him, this is a bit awkward.
Oh,
yeah.
It's quite overtly racy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's only that cutscene. She actually spends most of her time shouting at him.
Mm.
Well,
like all women.
Yeah. I say most of the time. I say most of the 3 minutes she's in the game. It's not really much of a plot twist, by the way. It's in the trailer. So the whole of Rio de Janeiro, well, a virtual version of Rio de Janeiro is your playing ground or your sandbox. And it's basically another Gangstar game, really. They've got internal scenes now. Not internal as in like internal monologuing or going through the stomach.
I thought it was getting racy again.
Interior scenes. Is
that a selling point?
Well, yeah, you go inside buildings. Only if you go inside...
Only certain buildings, though.
Only certain buildings. And if you go into the buildings at the wrong time, they'll be completely empty.
Hmm. Sounds a lot like The Getaway, to be honest.
It does sound a bit like The Getaway, actually. 60 missions. Lots of you can configure the controls quite nicely now.
I mean that's scraping the barrel. Is that on the description, internal scenes, or is that something you've garnered from this, Will?
Interior scenes.
Because I never hear the end of that. Everyone always says to me, you know, how is this? What's this game like to play? Oh yeah, it's good. Has it got any interior scenes? No. Well, not interested. Yeah.
It's a bit of a problem when it's Interior Decorator 2012. Let's be honest here.
I'd play that game.
It's quite hard. Who would have thought the interior decoration business was such a cutthroat business? Anyway, Gangstar. Yeah. So yes, they did actually say at the time when I was playing it, look, we've got new internal scenes.
What reaction did you give?
I went, oh, that's weird. And then I walked into a hospital and it was empty. And I walked around the hospital. I got lost in the hospital. And then it became a little bit awkward again. Because I was demoing it, you know, next to the guy from the company, trying to get me out of the hospital, which is completely deserted. Anyway, the rest of it was quite fun. You get to go in helicopters, tanks, and all that.
Yeah.
Epoch is next, but I won't talk about it now because I'm going to talk about it a little bit later.
Okay.
Choco Hero. Interesting. There's lots of chocolate in that.
It's got Swiss rolls.
Any heroes?
There's someone with a cape on. It's come to us.
There we go.
Tilt your device to roll your little hero in the land of sweets and chocolate. I like Anne's description. Along the way, you'll have to help your buddies escape from their cake prisons. Sounds a bit like Keith.
Keith's exploded.
Yeah, he's relating to it. That's him crying.
You wonder where the developers, they come up with the idea for a game, but they have no idea about the setting until the last minute, and then they decide, where should we put this? Let's make the prisons cakes. Yeah. Cake. Okay. Sounds good to me. People like cake.
So, yes, Ink is next up on the new releases. It's from Orange Pixel, who made Stardash and Meganoid, yeah. So mainly Android, primarily Android, and then iPhone after. Mm. We gave it a bronze on Android, but I believe that was on the Xperia Play. So, yeah, we'll see how it fares on.
Say no more.
Yeah, say no more. So yes, you're a sort of man with a huge head, running around a 2D environment, shooting baddies, leaping over them. It's sort of got their sort of pixel art.
What the hell does that happen every week?
Is that
some random jobbo I don't know decides they want to get into my flat, so they buzz me?
You got a telegram? Telegram from Mr. Andrew?
It's just on pizza delivery. I can see him, and he's just pressed whatever button he can see. Obviously, the idiot. If I wasn't middle class, I'd be shouting out the window right now.
You.
Where's my cake?
Don't disturb me. I'm eating gatto.
Yes, where were we?
Sorry about that, James. So there we go. Ink, got a bronze. Asteroids Gunner is the final game up this week and the midweek releases. Is it from Atari?
The name Ubisoft bought them, didn't they? Someone French bought them.
Anyway, Atari, Asteroids Gunner. I think it's free as well.
I don't know, why did they do it for free?
It's freemium. IAPs.
It's Infograms, that's it.
No, but it's not, but no. The Infograms bought, yeah. But it's
And they've taken their name on hold.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just took the name on. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? So Infograms are now Atari?
That's ages ago.
Quite a while, isn't it? Like 3 years.
I never realised that.
I knew someone had bought them and then decided they were going to be. It was going to be a specialist brand for a while, and then they realised that.
Well, they bought the brand in from like 10 years ago. They got the brand from whoever owned it then.
Wow, I thought Infograms had died out.
Well, they just renamed themselves as Atari.
Oh, right. So there still is the possibility that Outcast could come back.
Yeah, there is.
Awesome. I'm going to put on my Cutter Slade t-shirt.
You have a Cutter Slade t-shirt?
No, of course I don't, although I would like one. That'd be awesome. It'd be orange. It'd be just like his T-shirt. Oh, I love that game. Anyway, yeah, so it is free, Asteroids Gunner. It's kind of sounds a bit reminiscent of, what's that game? Space Miner.
Oh, okay.
In that you fly around destroying asteroids, but to also earning cash and upgrading your ship and stuff like that. Getting power-ups and skill upgrades.
Hmm.
Yes, so I guess there's going to be lots of in-app purchases. There's three galaxies, 150 non-stop waves, three different ships, tons of power-ups, unlock over 200 achievements.
Our screenshot appears to be of the menu screen where you choose a ship, which is it to me.
Choose your own ship to pilot.
Choose your own ship to pilot.
Not just choose your own ship, you get to pilot it. So there you go. And it is out now for free. So there we go. That's the midweek releases. I hope you've enjoyed that. We have. let's go on to what we've been playing, Fields.
What we've been playing!
I am going to start first this week.
Are you?
Yes, I am. Change. I've been playing this week Modern Warfare 3 on the Xbox. It's been great. I've only 2 hours into the single player campaign, but it's everything I'd have hoped for.
No one cares.
All right. Anyway, on the iPad.
Have you got to the infamous scene yet? The infamous.
Yes,
scene.
I did actually. I thought it was really good.
You thought that was good.
Yeah. Well, I guessed it was the infamous scene. Is it where I'm going to cut this bit out? Is it where? Anyway, what I've been playing on iPad this week is Epoch or Epoch, if you want to pronounce it wrong.
Epoch.
Made with the Unreal Engine, and it is from, let me remember the name, Uppercut Games, ex-Irrational Games developers.
Mm.
Yes. Who not only did Bioshock, they also did System Shock 2.
But when you say they did it, you mean they were developers on it?
Yeah, they were developers on it, yeah.
There's only like two of them or something, isn't it?
There's only two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of them, though, obviously not. Anyway, yes, so it's a third-person game. Wait, don't make the noise. I know what you're all thinking. But it's actually genuinely good. There's a few areas I think it needs to be improved on. And it's kind of one of those games where you kind of end up focusing more on the negatives because the rest of it's really good and the negatives sort of stand out more.
Mm.
Essentially, you play a robot who's looking for a princess. The plot's not very good, I've got to say. And each level splits up into a series of screens, which you get to in that sort of Infinity Blade style, you know, cutaway of like the camera pulling up as your robot picks up a bit of salvage, which you can fast forward like Infinity Blade, and you will. It's not that interesting. It's quite nice looking, but and each screen you've got certain amounts of cover, and you've got enemy robots on the other side. But rather than directly control him with a virtual joystick, you swipe left or right to make him dive to the left or right. You tap the enemy you want to target, and he'll automatically fire at him when he gets a chance. You swipe down to take cover, swipe down again to reload while in cover. And if you swipe up from one of the corners of the screen, you leap over to the other side of the screen. And it sounds a bit silly, but actually these controls work really well. They're I am designing a touchscreen game, so I'm going to do good touchscreen controls rather than I'm designing a first-person shooter.
Mm.
I don't know. Copy Modern Warfare. There's none of that feeling that you're playing something which has been compromised because of the format. And I think that's its greatest strength. And it's quite action-packed. Even though you're not directly firing at anyone, you're doing enough. There's enough action and they're doing enough different types of robots to keep things like feeling like you're doing things all the time. The only problem is I think it lent on Infinity Blade a little bit too much. Obviously, they've seen Infinity Blade and they want to try and recreate it for the third-person action game because they've introduced, like, upgradable weapons, a leveling system. They lock off all the difficulty levels but easy for the first playthrough, so you have to go back through again to unlock the others. But it's too easy on the first playthrough. The weapons aren't different enough to really make me anyway care about what weapon I used. And the leveling system in Infinity Blade, the leveling system was there as that was the driving force You wanted to level up. You wanted to beat the baddie, the God King. Mm. On this one, you will defeat the boss character, and then that's it. Game over after an hour, but then you've unlocked the same levels again, but with slightly harder enemies.
Mm.
There's not that much of an incentive, which is a real shame. It also ends really abruptly, as in the rather wafer thin plot doesn't resolve, which is odd.
Okay.
But the controls, the graphics, and the actual firefights themselves, very good. And I'd expect their next game to be really good. I think this is nice prep.
It's still weird that the company still have to kind of go through the rigmarole of having some sort of plot. You kind of think, what? You know, and then one of the clever things about Infinite Blade was that, I mean, there was a plot, but it wasn't a plot, was it? I mean, it was like, the whole point of the plot was it wasn't a plot.
It said more, so. I mean, like, they try and do a similar sort of thing where it says more with the... with the actions than it does. There's no dialogue as far as I remember. But, I mean, Infinity Blade, you get like 3 lines of dialogue and that's it. And then it's sorted. You just go after this guy and then, like, I will avenge you.
There might be kind of a hangover from console then. They might just be used to thinking game must have big plot kind of thing.
It's not a big plot, to be fair. It's literally just find a princess. It has like Bioshock / System Shock style journals which you can pick up through the game. I think you find them by shooting crates, but I wasn't quite sure. I seem to just pick them up by random. There's like 12 of them, which have like people discussing things. I didn't really read it though, because to be honest, it's a robot trying to find a princess. It's not like a version of Anne Rhine's, you know, thing.
It's thing.
Okay. Anyway, so I think their next game is going to be really good. I think this game's like a trial run, but it's a good trial run and it's an enjoyable trial run. I don't know what price it's going to launch at though, because I reviewed a pre-release copy. Hopefully it's not going to be as much as Infinity Blade. Obviously I don't think it's going to be a 6 to 9p game, but hopefully it's not going to be like $5.99 or something like that. Because it's not really long enough for that. But it's really good. If you want to see how a third-person action game with cover could work on a touchscreen, there you go. Nice. Innovative.
Yep.
Anyway, John, you've been very, very, energetic.
Very what? I've been energetic?
Energetic.
Don't feel very energetic.
I've been faxing.
So I've been playing not... kind of one game, not a lot of it, because I only just got it yesterday, but it's kind of an interesting kind of story around it, I guess, that I guess we all have played Slice It, that was from Come to Us, the kind of game where you slice things
indeed.
Up.
Indeed, I reviewed into, that.
Did you review it? Yeah. So that was kind of like their big kind of 99 cent hit. Did it come out there? Kind of early 2010 it came out, I think, didn't it? Kind of
came out.
Anyway,
no, May, I think it was
March.
Yeah.
Anyway. So interestingly, I didn't know this at all. The what seems to have happened is the entire team who made Slice It have left Come to Us, which is I've no idea why. best not to ask, I guess. And they've set up their own company and they've just released their first game, which unfortunately, it kind of shows, I guess, why they're good developers and why, but equally why you need a publisher. Because their game's called Little Lambs, as in small sheep, small sheep. And actually, it's called, technically, on the App Store, it's called Little Lambs, A Brain Puzzler. That's the entire name. And it's got a weird dash in it halfway along, so it's kind of odd. Anyway, But the artwork-wise, it's kind of like a slightly odd concept. I mean, obviously they're a Korean team, so their artwork is really spiffing, really really great kind of colourful artwork. And in terms of like the actual dynamic, it's actually quite like, I mean, we've seen these kind of games before. So there's kind of like there's one called Sticky Balls, which is Sticky Balls ages ago, and there was the Genki Blocks kind of thing where you basically what you're doing. Why is it so? Why is someone guffawing in the background? I think you're dying.
Go on.
Anyway, so basically you. What's the matter with you guys?
I'm now laughing at Will laughing.
It was, first of all, you disarmed me by saying calling Korean art spiffy.
Yeah. Spiffy.
and then you just casually dropped in sticky balls. That was the tipping point.
Juvenile, aren't you? demand to work with high quality presenters. So basically what you have is you have different coloured sheep, and it's a kind of a gesture puzzle game. So basically these sheep are arranged in some sort of formation in their pen, and you basically can, with your finger, you either move them up, down, across, you know, left or across right. So those are basically the four moves, and whatever you do will apply to all the sheep that can move in that direction. So kind of the point is there's various obstacles and stuff, so you have to move them around so you get all the ones that are the same color in a block, and when you do that they disappear. And so it's that kind of puzzle game where kind of laterally you're trying to think how do I move these around to get them to get that one in between those two so they'll disappear and then release that kind of thing. So it's not really anything, it's kind of weird in the sense that they've taken that kind of mechanism and decided to use it in the idea of like lambs, as if they kind of think that's what people would, the theme that people would like. Because actually some of you kind of think with it, then certainly the art style, which is very kind of colourful and cartoony and cute, is kind of like quite kid-ish. But the actual gameplay is quite abstract, I think, if you were certainly for very small kids. I mean, you, obviously, it's this kind of game, you can just randomly just keep doing it, and you kind of get there in the end. But obviously, to get the three stars, you have to, you get basically there's the perfect option is a certain number of moves. So you have to kind of think a little bit in that case to actually how you're going to do it. But it's actually. I was quite surprised because I only looked into it because I kind of thought, oh, they did slice it, so this is definitely worth checking out in terms of what they've done. But it's equally, I kind of think if they'd been working with a publisher, they may have been even just the title, they could have used the same concept, but calling it Little Lambs is, I think, a little bit off-putting for certain people. But no, very very nice. If you like those kind of slightly abstract kind of puzzle games, I would thoroughly recommend it. It's for I think it was $2. No, it's 99 cents. I'd take it back. 99 cents.
So, Keith, what have you been up to this week?
Do you know what I played this week?
Literally. No, I don't want to know what you've been playing. What have you been up to?
What I've been up to?
Yeah.
Well, I had my hair cut, did I?
No, I'm not interested. What have you been playing?
Well, after last week when we one of the midweek releases, I said I was quite interested in, you two both poo-pooed. What's it called? The one where you control the traffic. Trafficville. That screenshot is actually just the loading screen at the start. It isn't actually isometric like that. It's actually 2D, and there's only one level, and basically you just take charge of a junction, and in this junction you have some cars coming from the left, some cars coming from the right, some cars coming from the top, some cars coming from the bottom, and this
sounds amazing.
One train goes up, one train goes down, and essentially all you do is tap the relevant lights to say when they can drive or not, and obviously what you're looking for is no crashes. So I mean, there is essentially only two ways you can do it. You let the main road full of the traffic go, and you stop the side roads from going, and then once you've done enough of them, you let the side roads go one by one, otherwise they drive into each other, as people obviously would. And if you keep any road waiting too long, then it's game over, and if they crash, it's game over. So yeah, it was quite disappointing, actually. But I thought I'd give it a go after bigging up the screenshot last week, and I'd say it's disappointing. It's the kind of thing you can play, you know, when you've got 2 minutes, and it kind of keeps your attention for some reason, but it's not quite the Trafficville the name suggests, more like One Junction traffic.
Junctionville.
Yeah, Junctionville. It's but I've always wanted to take charge of traffic lights anyway, so it was, you know, it's kind of a dream in theory. But
I met someone whose dream job was calculating the exact timings for traffic lights and devising a theorem that would be able to.
There's been quite a lot of research into exactly those kind of issues.
Hmm.
You know what they found out though? The best way to have traffic, the best way to organise traffic junctions is not to have traffic lights, because you're always forcing the signals. Whereas if you don't have any traffic lights, people drive much slower, but they find their own way through, and it's much quicker in the end.
There we go, bit of education there. What else have you been playing?
Well, that's all I've been playing. I've been playing Assassin's Creed, but not on iPhone. So
You need to follow my tips.
Don't get what your tips are.
I can't do the voice. The voice was one off from last week.
What, you trying to be Ezio? What?
Yeah, I was trying to be Ezio. I can't do Ezio.
I get too excited if anyone talks like Ezio, so it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, well, I'll save it for later. Yeah, it's good. It's good, the multiplayer version. Not on the iPhone. That wasn't very good. Anyway, so that's it. That's the end of this week's episode. We will be back next Thursday or Friday, depends on when it goes up. And yes, we hope you have a very good week. I'm going to go off and play Modern Warfare 3 and swear a lot. To myself, I don't do it online.
I'm going to go off and talk to one of my many ex-girlfriends, probably. No.
Actually, I might call her up and see what her highest Tetris score is. I'll probably beat on it. And John's going to bathe of numbers.
Bathe in numbers?
Yeah.
Send some faxes. He's faxing me right now. What he doesn't know is I don't have a fax machine. So.
So we hope you have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.